Hey everyone, so you're wondering where my friend Mike Lindell is? Well, guess what? He was actually creating the My Slipper. It's like walking on clouds, right? Don't forget to use the promo code Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, and you will receive 40% off of your My Slippers. Your whole family is going to love it. Land of the free, land of the free. Folks, that and the home of the brave, that I'm not going to even apologize. I love our country. I love America. And I love, love, love the great state of Texas. Yes, I have Attorney General Ken Paxton on the show with us today. He is like a general leading a charge against a new form of tyranny, right? A new form of tyranny. And that is the social media tyrannical leaders like Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg and Sundar Pichai and, you know, all the unnamed minions that work for them in the shadow banning world of the nether world of the internet, wherever that is, wherever all my stuff just disappears to. It's like the hell of the internet, right? That's what we've got going on today. We've got that and so much more because we're going to talk to Attorney General Paxton from the great, great state of Texas. I love Texas. Remember, I do love Florida too. I love Florida too. Texas, Florida, it's like a toss up. We're going to talk to him about the border, about border security. Like I said, about social media and the big battle he has going on with them. Also, all the battles that he has going on with the Biden administration. It's like one battle after another. This is like the show of battles. Home of the free, land of the brave, Nine Line. You guys, I love Nine Line. Just throwing it out there. And they're not even a sponsor. I'm just wearing this shirt. But you know who is a sponsor? And you know who really supports this show and believes in our nation more than anything? It's AMAC. It's AMAC. Let your voice be heard in Washington by joining the fastest growing 50 plus conservative organization today. At amac.us/Carter. That's amac.us/CARTER. I just spelled it out for you. You're going to be able to just do it like instantaneously. You are going to be a part of AMAC. 50 plus organization, conservative organization, fighting for you, fighting for your kids' rights, fighting for your nation. We do not want to let our nation down. Let's join AMAC. Okay, so where do we start? Again, it's like, I never thought that as a journalist, when I first started out, that I would be in a situation like I am today. Like I started out, I wanted to be the voice of the voiceless. I was young. I'm gung-ho. I'm going to tell these stories. We're going to get the truth out to the American people. And once the bad guys are exposed, they are going to be put in handcuffs and they are going to be taken to jail. Right? No. But you know what? It doesn't always work out that way. I do believe, though, in the end, bad people actually pay the price. They actually will pay the price for what they've done because it just catches up to them, right? But we have been strangely disappointed by our own system over the last year or so. I know, you know, I was talking to my very good friend, Dan Bongino. I know you all love him because his podcast, like, woo. It's like, great. Dan's got a show. I'm so proud of him. I'm so happy for him. And he's just an all around good human being inside and out. The guy is just great. And his family is great. His wife, Paula, is great. They're just good Americans, right? Good people. And I was so grateful to be on his show, on his radio show. And I made a big announcement, making a big announcement right now. It's going to be big. Remember, I told you, I have a very special guest that is coming on the show next week. A very, very special guest, one that you all love, someone you all love and know. I know you. I know you out there. I know you care about this guest. It is none other. No, not the president of Guatemala, but President Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States. I am so excited to have him on because, my gosh, do we have a lot to talk about. I don't know about you, but I miss him. I miss America First agenda. I still believe it. I mean, I'm still out there espousing it. I'm still out there saying, let's do this. This is about our nation. We are going to stand up to the tyranny, right? Stand up to the censorship. Stand up to this crazy world, this leftist regime that is embedded so deep in our nation that we are just struggling. Those of us who are normal, those of us who have common sense is what I mean. I know I'm going to say normal and everyone's going to be like, there should be no more normal, or normal is weird, whatever. I don't care. Stop trying to confuse me. I just want to talk normally to you. I just want to say common sense. I just want to have common sense again in America. I want us to be able to talk to one another, to be okay with defending freedom and liberty, and to not hearing the nonsense that is being espoused by, frankly, some of the worst of mankind, right? Some of the worst. Trying to divide us racially, economically, socially. I'm just tired of it. Tired of it. One of the things that I want to share with you today is something that just, I mean, and I think all of you should hear this, because I know that the leftist media, for the most part, I'm not even going to say mainstream anymore. I'm going to say leftist, because those that decide not to tell you this are big fat liars. And the only people that lie in the media, in the world, in the history of the world, have really been the communists and socialists. They are the biggest liars ever. And they lie to their people consistently. It's like, you know, like North Korea, right? Or the old Soviet Union. And even, you know, even leadership now in the Soviet Union, it's tough to get truth out there in the media. And Cuba, and you know, yada, 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 all of them. But right now, the Interior Department's Inspector General published the results of an investigation, remember, into the clash and the fighting in Lafayette Park in June 2020. Remember where they were trying to blame? In fact, you know what? They were trying to blame President Trump. But here, let me play you a compilation that I thought my good friend Sean Hannity's team did such an amazing job with. This is a compilation that was on the show this week, showing how ridiculous the media has been and how they targeted President Trump, the leftist media, to help and with an agenda for the Biden administration, to help the Biden administration by smearing the president of the United States and thereby smearing the people who voted for him. Listen to this.
They dispersed protesters in Lafayette Park the other day when the president wanted his photo op.
Police fired tear gas on peaceful protests outside the White House, all so Donald Trump could stage a photo op.
Because the president literally wanted a photo op after all this tear gas had been sprayed on U.S. American citizens.
Last night, those peaceful protesters in D.C. were cleared from the park, you'll remember, so that President Trump could walk across the street to St. John's Church for a photo op.
The United States government does not use the military against civilians in this country unless there's a damn good reason. And well, also, all we ended up with was what the president of the United States looking like a wannabe dictator. Right. So he could walk over to a church and pretend to be concerned about the church.
I don't even know what to say, because like I said at the beginning of this monologue that I'm now doing here on my show, out of the total and utter confusion of what we just listened to. How is it possible that the American media establishment has turned into this leftist ideological tool of the Biden administration and other Democrats? Those were flat out lies. Flat out lies. There were no peaceful protests out in front of Lafayette Square. It was very dangerous, and it was a dangerous situation, and they were targeting not just the area around the White House, but the church that was there. Let me just read to you this investigation by the Inspector General. An internal government investigation has determined that the decision to forcibly clear racial justice protesters, this is how the AP described them. This is another lie but they were racial justice protesters. Let me tell you that. From an area in front of the White House last summer, was not influenced by then President Donald Trump's plan to stage a Bible toting photo opportunity at that spot. This is the Associated Press. They can't even tell you the truth. All they are doing is laying out what they wished would have happened. Let me tell you what did happen. The Inspector General said that those news reports that were all over the place touting, you know, Trump as this dictator who marched in with a Bible, the Bible, the worst thing that you could carry, right? The Bible. Oh my gosh, what kind of person would carry the Bible in Washington, let alone a president, right? That it was all a lie, that the media totally just made it up, over-exaggerated it. Why? Because they cannot stand the president. So now let me read you the statement from Inspector General Mark Lee Greenblatt regarding the special review report. It is the review of the U.S. Park Police actions at Lafayette Park. Straight to the point. My office is releasing today our report addressing the actions of the U.S. Park Police to disperse protesters in and around Lafayette Park in Washington, D.C., June 1st, 2020. The report, which we anticipate to be the first of a number of projects examining the aspects of the events of June 1st, focused on what occurred from an operational perspective. What happened? What happened there from an operational perspective? That there was absolutely no direction by the president to clear that park. They did it to remove those demonstrators because it was getting out of control. The church was on fire. The president was going out there, but the president didn't ask this. The president didn't ask for it all to be cleared, you know, so that he could stage a photo op and, God forbid, carry the Bible in his hands. You guys, this is so frustrating to me because I know it has to be frustrating to you too. I know that you have to sit back and wonder, like, what kind of nation do we live in? How can we live in a democratic nation when our freedom of the press is being encroached on by this kind of weird ideological fascism that exists not only in our companies like, you know, Jeff Bezos's Washington Post and New York Times, you know, and their behavior and how they've treated President Trump, to CNN, to MSNBC. How do we get to the truth? Well, we just have to keep fighting for the truth. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep looking for the truth, exposing the truth, and telling the truth. And part of that is holding big tech responsible for censorship. Big tech has to be held responsible. I'm gonna share this with you because this is why I'm so grateful to have Attorney General Ken Paxton on with us. But a federal judge just tossed out Twitter's lawsuit against the Attorney General for following his launch of an investigation into the social media's platform after it suspended President Donald Trump. Because it suspended President Donald Trump, both Twitter and Facebook. And Facebook says now, like a parent punishing a kid or giving them, you know, putting them on restriction. Oh, don't worry, we'll let President Trump out of Facebook jail in 2 years. In 2 years. How silly is this? It's not just silly, it's actually downright frightening. It's downright frightening that in this land, reason why I'm wearing the shirt, right? Freedom, land of the free, land of the free. If we don't fight for this freedom, if we don't stand up to these bullies, to these fascist corporations, the way Attorney General he's living up to the name. He is living up to General, up to his title, General. General Ken Paxton, that's who he is. And he is fighting these extreme social media censorship and censorship deputies, I call them. I mean, they won't even let us know who these people are or how it is structured. How are they making these decisions? That's what the Attorney General wants to know. That's what everybody wants to know. You know, even though Attorney General Ken Paxton is a supporter of President Trump, he is 100% right that he absolutely has to find out what Twitter is doing and what they are doing on the back end. And that's why I have him today as a guest on our show. You know, here on the Sarah Carter Show, I support and have organizations who support us that I absolutely believe in. It's not random. These are organizations that I actually believe make a difference in people's lives. And I want you to hear about them. One of those organizations, a very new sponsor for the Sarah Carter Show, is Tunnel to Towers Foundation. I am so excited to be a part of their family and to have them be a part of my family. Why? Because they have been honoring America's heroes ever since September 11th, the horrible tragedy where we actually witnessed, I think for the first time in our modern nation, how important our first responders are and how selfless they are and how selfless they were, because so many of them lost their lives to save us, to save those people in the towers in New York City, to save those that are literally staring down the barrel of death, and to have someone willing to put themselves in front and sacrifice themselves for us is absolutely astonishing. It's something that I truly, truly respect and honor, and I want to honor here on the Sarah Carter Show. Tunnel to Towers does that, but they do it in a very tangible way. They make a difference in the lives of the families. And I think that's something that a lot of people forget. You know, first responders and our veterans, like my husband, their families are their backbone. They are their support. And when the family loses someone that they love, especially if it's a first responder, a law enforcement officer, or a veteran, a lot of times families feel very alone. They feel like there's no one there to lift them up. They have children that need their help. They have a mortgage that they need to pay. They may have medical expenses that we're unaware of. Just even going to the grocery store can be daunting sometimes because it's, you never know the circumstances that people are facing. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what Tunnel to Towers Foundation is doing. It honors our military and our first responders who continue to make that supreme sacrifice of life and limb for our country. The foundation is actually bringing 200 mortgage-free homes to Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children. Think about that. They're warriors too. They're on the front lines too. They're holding the fort while their loved ones are out there protecting us. And now Tunnel to Towers is saying, look, we're going to be here for you. We're going to be here for your families. And that's the reason why I support them. Look, not only do they do that, but Frank Siller, who was the oldest brother of actually Stephen Siller, he was the firefighter who passed away on September 11th. He was off duty. Believe it or not, he was getting ready to play golf with his family members when he heard about the planes hitting the World Trade Center and Tower One. Instead of, you know, thinking about himself, he immediately stopped everything. He got to Manhattan. He went under the tunnel, got to the tower to start rescuing folks, and was one of more than 300 firefighters who died that day. On September 11th, the day that I will never forget. And I remember watching on television, and the day that changed my life as well. Well, his brother, Frank Siller, is the CEO of Tunnel to Tower Foundation. He is actually doing something that I think is so remarkable. He is walking from the Pentagon, Shanksville, to downtown Manhattan. He will be arriving the morning of 9/11 to draw attention to the foundation and to all first responders in our nation. This isn't just about one day. This isn't just about September 11th. Although I believe it is for Frank Siller and his family when they think of their brother, Stephen Siller. You know, that day obviously changed everything for them. But this is about all of our first responders and our veterans and our intelligence officials and all of those people who put their lives on the line every single day so that we can live with freedom, right? The land of the free, home of the brave. These are the reasons that we as a nation have successfully, I think, gotten to where we've gotten, right? So I want you all to support Tunnel to Tower. Right? This is so important to me. Tunnel to Towers Foundation. We need to support that. These are about all the people that have given their lives, given so much, and supporting their families and supporting them. Honor and vow to never forget. Donate just $11 a month to T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Attorney General Paxton, thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. It's an honor to have you on here because I truly, as I've told everyone just before you got on, you are a general leading an army against what I see is probably one of the most dangerous threats to our nation in its entire history. And that is the censorship, the secrecy, the fascist style behavior of these corporations like Google and Twitter, Facebook. Basically, I was laughing. I got to tell you this really quick. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, comes out and says, well, you know what? In a couple of years, we will release President Trump from like Facebook jail. Like it's a, like we're like, we should be like, oh, wow. Thank you. So awesome. They don't do anything to Iran. They never do anything. I mean, we've seen pedophilia on, you know, on human trafficking. By the way, I was in Guatemala and the Guatemalan president, as well as other Guatemalan officials, actually looked on Facebook and we found human smugglers instantaneously. But President Trump, he's in jail, a president of these United States. So thank you for leading the charge against what I see as the greatest threat and tyranny to our nation right now. And that is these companies and the censorship and the destruction that they pose.
Well, exactly what you said is the reason I ran for a second term is to take on some of these big tech companies that are the most powerful companies we've ever seen. They're more powerful than many nations, most nations. They have almost unlimited financial resources, and they have a monopoly on much of what we're able to communicate. And so there needs to be something done to make sure, one, we don't have monopolistic behavior, and two, to make sure that these companies don't control speech in this country in a way that dictates to us who our elected representatives are going to be and what we think and say and what we buy.
Well, a federal judge just tossed out Twitter's lawsuit that they, and I got to tell you, I think I never laughed harder in my life than when I read Twitter's lawsuit charging you with the violation of their First Amendment freedoms. So I just, so everybody understands this, could you, in layman's terms, explain their ridiculous lawsuit and the common sense of the federal judge who basically took it and flicked it right out the window and said, yeah,
well,
sorry.
So Twitter, after the whole issue with Donald Trump being taken off Twitter and them all deplatforming another competitor, we started asking questions of several companies that might have been involved in that. And we have a right to do that under our, it's called a civil investigative demand. And we're allowed to do civil litigation. But before that, we usually ask questions. To find out whether we want to file a lawsuit or whether they can answer the questions in a way that satisfies our intent, which is to discover whether they're doing something illegal. Well, so we asked those questions. Most of the companies were participating and providing that information. Twitter started to participate, started to answer questions, and they decided, I guess, that they didn't want us to discover things that they knew. And so instead of answering our questions under Texas law, they take us to court in California, federal court, trying to get us to stop asking them questions. And apparently this federal judge agreed with us. We have every right to ask those questions.
I think that's incredible because what they said, and just so everybody out there understands how they tried to respond to Attorney General Paxton was basically this. They wanted to stop him from unlawfully abusing his authority as the highest law enforcement officer of the state of Texas to intimidate, harass, and target Twitter in retaliation for Twitter's exercise of its First Amendment rights. I mean, if I didn't even know, whoever wrote that should have been so embarrassed to write that because that's exactly what they do. I mean, they do that to everyone they want selectively. They don't do it to everyone and anyone on the same level. There's no actual fact checker that balances things out, really. It's kind of selective. Like, oh, I hate Trump, so we're going to ban him. But the Ayatollah, oh, it's fine. You want to blow up Israel? You know, you want to destroy, get the Jews off the face of the planet? Ah, you're good. That's just a thought. But they won't, let you know how they're doing this.
Well, so it's ironic and hypocritical, isn't it? Their exact statement fits. It's such a good description of what it appears that they do to our country and to the world, which is they are the ones that are limiting speech. They are the ones that are causing the problem. And then I merely ask the question, what are your policies on this? What do you, you know, explain how you've communicated with these other companies in limiting people's free speech. And suddenly I'm affecting their free speech. All I'm doing is asking them questions. That was it. We didn't file a lawsuit. We didn't threaten a lawsuit. We just said, can you please answer our questions, legitimate questions that we're allowed to ask under state law, if you're going to operate in the state of Texas, and they run to California hoping that they can get out of it and then accuse us of doing what they do every single minute of the day.
How do you handle this? How, explain to me, because maybe I'm just, I'm not an attorney. It's not my area of expertise, but how is it possible that Twitter, Google, Facebook, publicly traded companies, you know, we can buy stock in them. How is it possible that they can just selectively do whatever they want with these companies that have now become a tool for communication globally? Because it's not just about, you know, it's not just about a product. It's about a product that literally affects the entire planet. It could be used as a tool by a nation, as a weapon. It could be used as disinformation. But it feels as though they are selectively using it for political purposes, weaponizing the system against the American people, and then stepping back and saying, oh, no, you can't do anything to me. I have a First Amendment right, and I have the right to discern who and what I want on my platform. Is there a way around that?
Yeah. So I think the reason they do it is because we've let them. And part of that is, you know, we've been lax in overseeing them. And two, they've just grown. It's technology. Just, you know, no one knew it was coming. It grew. Congress gave them special protections to protect them from people putting their views on there and then them getting sued. So they have all these special protections. I think that the time now, if we don't quickly address this issue, whether it's at a federal level, state level, in every possible way through litigation, they're such large monopolies, which we, in the past, our country has viewed in a negative way, that if we don't want monopolistic behavior, because then consumers don't have choices, especially when you have monopolies that crush their competition, buy them out, destroy them. We want consumers to have choice. And that's why I sued Google, and it may be why I end up suing other companies. It takes so many resources to take these companies on, just because they can hire literally unlimited lawyers. They contribute to campaigns, and so it's really difficult to get anything done through Congress. And so they have tremendous power. My argument is that if we do not address this now, we may never have our free speech back. We may never have control of that again. And they may control through artificial intelligence, which they're getting much better at using. They may have so much control over what people say, buy, do, vote, all of it, that we may never be able to get our country back and our freedom back.
You brought up so many great points right here. I mean, how worried should we be? And another thing, when you talk about artificial intelligence, I've spoken to people, insiders at Google, people that have been whistleblowers. It's very difficult for Congress, for the Senate, even for, I'm guessing, for the Attorney General of the state of Texas, for us to understand the complexity behind what they do, because they create artificial intelligence that can then operate on its own. It is rewarded by our behavior. So for example, and I mean, and I hope I can explain this to y'all out there listening really quickly, but for example, if your child goes on YouTube a lot and your child is watching certain videos and the artificial intelligence says, yeah, these are good videos that your kid should be watching. Now I'm going to reward them. I'm going to direct them to a video now that has a little bit more, is a little bit older than their age, is going to make them more addictive to coming back to YouTube, because I'm going to feed them what they want, what they mentally are desiring on YouTube. And I've talked to insiders who've said that. How difficult is it for you to have the right people on your team to say, hey, what can we do to investigate? I mean, these behemoth corporations with all this power and all of this intelligence and technology.
Well, it's really challenging. I mean, we started, as soon as I got reelected, we started going to California. We met with professors. We met with technology experts. We met with lawyers. And the challenge is we don't have all those resources in-house. We don't have these people that are experts on technology, who are cutting edge on algorithms and how, you know, these technology companies are operating. So we've had to go outside and we've had to spend money. And that's been challenging because then when I try to get money for my budget, Google has gone and lobbied against me in my own legislature to try to stop me from getting funds to figure out what we, yeah, it's crazy.
I didn't even know this. They're doing this.
I had to fight harder for my budget this year than I've ever had to fight. And I'm convinced that some of these companies like Google knew if they could cut off my funding, which they tried to do. I tried to get special funding for a Google case. And then they tried to cut my budget by 25%. I would have had no chance, zero, and it would have been over, and they would have won if they could have cut off my funding, and that's what they were trying to do. So that's what we've been doing. We've been trying to understand, and that's why we targeted Google first, because we felt like we had a pretty darn good case, and we still do, that we filed in Texas that shows that they are a monopoly and that they control almost all the advertising on the internet, whether they represent the buyer, the seller, and they control the exchange between the two.
That's absolutely true. They pretty much dominate. They do. They dominate. I've had it happen to me where, you know, they've threatened to pull off my advertising if I didn't pull off a story. And then later we find out that those stories are true. And they were true from the very beginning. And there was no reason to ever target me, but they target conservative websites. They target conservative people. And that's, it's so obvious. We shouldn't even question it. One of the things that you're doing as well, and you are a top general, and I know for everybody out there, if you hear it, like, sounds like someone's typing, no one's actually typing. We don't know where that sound is coming from. We actually think we're being infiltrated by Google. I actually believe that right now. But you have five lawsuits right now, border-related lawsuits against the Biden administration. I just returned from Guatemala, and I had an opportunity to interview Guatemalan President Alejandro Yamate, and talk to a number of officials in Guatemala that were very concerned about the Biden administration's mixed messaging. Number one, its failure to address economic free trade in the region. Number two, and the plans by the Biden administration to basically hand over a ton of money, tens of millions of dollars, to NGOs. And no accountability in the end for this border crisis. So it's not just here in the United States that people are concerned. People are concerned in our neighboring countries, the ones most affected by this border crisis as well.
It's amazing because the Obama administration had the same policies and the exact same thing happened. People came up from Central America in droves. It was a huge problem. Trump inherited that problem from the Obama administration, implemented policies that started working, which was letting Border Patrol do their job, the Stay in Mexico program, the stopping the catch and release, and starting to build a wall. This started actually working. So the Biden administration on day one said, we cannot have the stop of illegal immigration. We must continue to have more illegal immigration. And so they stopped all the policies that worked and went back to the policies they knew that wouldn't work. And you say, well, why would you go to policies that don't work? Well, the reality is they must want illegal immigration. The beneficiaries, I don't even think are the migrants, because now they come through, when they come through Laredo or they come through McAllen, they have to pay the cartels. They are beholden to the cartels to get through. So the cartels are making anywhere from $4,000 to $50,000 per person to get across the border. And then they control these people once they get in. And so the cartels, if we're going to have immigration, this is not what we want to do to our immigrants. Put them in control of the cartels. But the Biden administration knows this. They allow it. They, for some reason, want the cartels to have control. And beyond that, now the cartels, because our Border Patrol agents are so busy with these people, with all these, this inflow of immigrants, they don't have the ability to stop the massive inflow of drugs that the cartels are bringing in and the other smuggling of people. And so, you know, the cartels are making billions of dollars off of Biden administration. They should probably send their thank yous every day. Nobody else is benefiting.
No, absolutely. 100%. I mean, if you need people to testify For you, all you have to do is go down to Guatemala. I'll point out some folks that I interviewed in some villages, and they will literally find people for you that will, I mean, testify to the fact that they were extorted by the drug cartels, that the drug cartels are making hand over fist money against the backs of the poor. And even more so, it's not about having the money up front. They're creating, the Biden administration is literally creating a slavery, an underground slavery organization here in the United States. So you have people that can't pay back the $16,000 that some of these cartels are charging now and smugglers to come to the U.S. So what do? They have to go into servitude here in the U.S. So I think that, you know, targeting the administration on these particular areas, especially in a court of law, fighting them legally and battling them out in a court of law, as you're doing, is amazing. It's excellent. What are our chances of getting it through, though, successfully and exposing the Biden administration for what they're really doing? And what is it that you think they really are doing here? Why are they doing this?
The only thing I can say is you look at what they are doing, it doesn't seem like there's any reasonable explanation for how it would benefit the American people. The only thing I can say, my speculation is, one, they think somehow this is going to improve their ability to win elections by getting more votes here that they think they control, because these people are thanking Biden for letting them in. And two, a lot of these people are going to red states. So I think the idea is destabilize the red states, cause social unrest, more crime, more costs that we have to absorb, whether it's through education, healthcare, law enforcement, make our states more miserable, make it harder for us to survive and be a red state. I mean, that's the only explanation, because otherwise you just have to say they're just here to benefit the cartels. And maybe that's true as well, because that's actually what's happening. So that's my only real explanation.
What about your lawsuit right now regarding the Keystone Pipeline? Can you talk a little bit about that and where you plan on going with that? Because I just got a statement from President Trump in my email. Well, it's not like he sent it to me personally, but he's sending it to everybody else, you know, as well, saying that, yeah, funny, huh? I wish he would, but he didn't. It wasn't a personal one. It was a statement from 45 that basically addressed this issue, saying that, you know, the Biden administration is failing on multiple fronts and, you know, has just destroyed the lives of so many people, and especially with the shutdown now of the Keystone Pipeline.
Congress actually authorized it, and they gave President Obama 60 days to mm-hmm. come up with a national interest reason for not doing it. Well, he didn't come up with one. He just never let it happen. So then under President Trump, he got it going, which was allowed by federal law, by Congress. It was voted on. And then for some reason, Joe Biden decided that he could just stop it, which we sued him over that because we don't think he has the authority to stop it. And the question you might ask again is, why would he do that? Well, it provides American jobs, so apparently we don't care about that. Two, it helps with energy independence, and we saw that the East Coast got hit with a pipeline cybersecurity attack, and that it would have been nice to have the Keystone Pipeline in place to back up that system.
Absolutely.
And then you wonder, well, maybe he's doing it for environmental reasons. Well, no, that's not it either. It actually is better for the environment that this stuff comes through pipeline rather than through a railroad, which is not as environmentally friendly. And so there's no good reason, especially when you look at what he just authorized Putin to do.
Exactly. I was going to say, except for the Russians. The Russians are benefiting from this. The Russians love this.
So all it does is make us more dependent on countries like Russia, like Iran, Iraq, the countries that hate us. So, you know, again, you say, what? There's no benefit to any American that I can see. And so we're left to ask, who is he benefiting? It's not us. So we just have to guess. Is it Russia? Is it Iran? Who knows? We can't answer that question, because all we know is it doesn't benefit America.
Well, you know, it's interesting with President Biden that it always seems like in the end, the benefactor of it is either China, Russia, or his son Hunter. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I know I'm not trying to be mean here. I think addiction is a terrible thing, and it's happened all across America. But in all reality, what we're seeing is a nepotistic administration that, but that does not benefit at all the United States in any way, shape, or form. I mean, I can see why President Trump is releasing these statements. It's got to be infuriating. It's got to be infuriating to see that everything that was working has now been turned backwards. And there's no apologies. I mean, even Vice President Kamala Harris, she is not even explaining. She lies. Well, we've been to the border. No, you haven't been to the border. You know, there's no apologies for what's happening to our country. So, I mean, I'm like you. I think there is a lot of confusion. I think the American people are kind of stunned at what's happening. And if we didn't have people like you, Attorney General Paxton, fighting the good fight, I don't know where we would be right now. I would really be very concerned. I want to talk a little bit about COVID in Texas. I mean, it's amazing what you have done. Basically, there's no COVID in Texas right now because there were zero deaths reported this week, 2 months after your mask mandate was lifted. And remember, they were going after you on that as well.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I have always thought this is an issue of personal responsibility, not the government telling us what to do. And what I mean by that is everyone has a different situation, a different health situation, different age. They have children. They don't have children. They work. They don't work. I've always thought, who better to make their own healthcare decision than a patient and a doctor together, as opposed to the government telling everyone, you have to do this, you can't do this, you have to do this. I'd much rather leave that in the hands of individuals to make their own decisions. And if they want to get vaccinated, they should get vaccinated. If they don't, they shouldn't. It's totally up to them.
I agree with you. And I think that, you know, Texas is a great example of that. I thought the state of Florida under Governor Ron DeSantis did an incredible job. And Governor Abbott, I say two of the greatest governors in our union, and two of the greatest states. Before I let you go, you had mentioned and you really sent out a warning. It's a warning that I have been pushing for years about fentanyl. And I believe fentanyl, which is pouring across our border, and now even more so than ever because of the Biden administration's failure, is a weapon of mass destruction. And you talked about that. Can you talk a little bit maybe about why it's so important that we focus and fight these drug cartels and these human traffickers and how they're targeting our nation? I believe it's irregular warfare, honestly, from China as well. But I believe that fentanyl is a very deadly, dangerous WMD, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think the Chinese are producing a lot of this. They're sending it to Mexico, and the cartels are happy to oblige and send it through our country. And I think it's being used by the Chinese to destroy internally with our people. They don't even have to fire a shot. They just keep sending fentanyl that kills people, and they win.
100%. I think anybody who isn't paying attention to what's happening here in our country, or people who refuse to see, it's a difficult thing to face when you say, like, how do we handle this? You know, how do we stop this? How do we hold China accountable? How do we hold the Mexican drug cartels accountable? And I think part of that is exposing it and shedding light on it. And that's what you're doing, Attorney General Paxton. You do that every day. And I thank you so much for being on the show. Next week, you got to be listening to the show because we're going to have President Donald Trump on the show. And I will definitely be bringing up our interview. Attorney General, thank you so much for your time. Today has been a very different kind of podcast day. Jenny Tare, who has been with me for over 3 years, is going to be with the Daily Caller Foundation. I'm so excited for her. She's going to be very, very much missed. But it makes me think about, like, you know, all the people in my life that we all rely on, right? You know, we get used to them. They become a part of our life. They become another spoke in the wheel. We kind of get used to everything. And all of a sudden, you know, as Jenny was leaving, and I was thinking about all the things that I do, trying to balance family and, oh my gosh, travel this year. And of course, you know, the podcast and the shows. You can see my daughter's hair back there. There's my daughter, balancing everything out. It's like, so if you're watching this on YouTube or Rumble, you'll see my daughter back there. I've told her, do not come in and interrupt me because I don't want to have to do this podcast over and over again. But this is the point. This is the point. We all try to find that balance in life, and we can't always find it. It's tough. It's hard. I know for all of you moms out there, you probably understand exactly how I feel. It's like you want to be there for your children. You want to be there for your husband, for your family, for your colleagues at work. And then when you turn around, it's midnight and the one person that you haven't been there for is probably yourself. You're probably just looking in a mirror going, wait, what happened? Why didn't I do something with my hair today? Well, you know what? Who cares, right? I think the important thing is that we spend time with those that we love, which is probably why my daughter is back there tossing a ball into the air and playing with the dog and trying to get my attention. So I am going to let you go now. And you, I hope, are at home listening to this podcast, having a great time with your family, enjoying dinner with your loved ones. And remember to make time for your kids. You know, our lives can be very overwhelming, and sometimes it feels like we're never going to get through the day, but there's always another day, right? There's always another day. Thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. Thank you so much for being a part of my life. It wouldn't be the same without you. I love our nation. I love you. I love reading your reviews. I love listening to what you have to say. So please feel free to find all of my social media links at sarahacarter.com. That's sarahacarter.com. Go there for all the links and don't forget to sign up for my email list. And remember, we've got President Trump coming on next week. I've got a ton of questions for him. And I bet you have a ton of questions for him. Let me know what you want to ask President Trump. Let's do that. What would you like to ask President Trump? And I will try to get that to him. And be kind, okay? Be respectful. And I will ask him. Thank you so much again for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. Remember, this is where we're taking the story back. Thank you and God bless. Frank Ziller, I am so happy to actually meet you. Tunnel to Towers is an organization, a foundation that I am so proud of being a sponsor for the Sarah Carter Show. So thank you so much. I think for me, when I, you know, when I read the spots, right, and I'm looking at the stories of how the foundation started, I'm so moved. But I really want to hear from you. Why did you start the foundation? What was it that made you realize, you know, we've got to do something, we've got to give something back?
Well, my brother, 20 years ago, on September 11, 2001, when he gave his life up, you know, while saving others, you know, New York City firefighter that runs through a tunnel, the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, with 60 pounds of gear on his back, gets through that tunnel, goes up West Street into that South Tower and goes up those stairs. And along with the 343 firefighters, 60 police officers and so many others, he gives up his life. We needed to make sure that that sacrifice and that story was not forgotten. So that's why we decided to do the foundation. And look, he was my little brother. He was the youngest of seven. We raised him. My parents died by the time he was 10 years old. So he has an unbelievable story of how he recovered from his own losses. And he realized that every day in life was precious. And he lived it that way. So he died the way he lived, you know, serving others.